Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Mama Shar's house, y'all. Be prepared to laugh, cry, pee your pants, or puke, as you just never know what's going to happen. So sit back, relax, and find your frequency. Here's the woman of my dreams, Mama Shar.
Happy Tuesday, y'all. Welcome to the quirky world of Mama Shar. So glad y'all stopped by. It's been a great day today. Don't you just love this weather? OMG. It was 69 here in Oklahoma yesterday. I can handle that kind of winter weather. We've got a great show for y'all tonight. So pull up a chair, grab your sweet tea, let's sit for a spell. Tonight, we have both of our guests have last name of Royer. I don't know if they're kin or not. I guess I'll ask Daniel if he knows Glenn. But we'll be speaking to Daniel B. Royer, who is an author of many talents. He'll be sharing how he went from being a poetic biography of an American baby boomer to a sci-fi fantasy for kids from 7 to 17. Our musical guest is Glenn Royer, and we'll be enjoying one of his little ditties called Change Is Here Now. At the end of the show, we'll be answering questions from my hashtag AskMamaShar segment, so stay tuned. It's quite interesting what some people write and ask, and so I picked out one that I didn't know if I was being pumped or if this was something that needed to be said for this young woman. So stay tuned. It's very, very interesting for me. But before we get started, I promise a little Facebook tip. You know I'm all about that Facebook, No, Instagram, anyway. There's sometimes I've noticed people posting where they're complaining that they're not receiving all the posts from their friends on their news feed. And so I wanted to share a little tidbit with you guys. If you're looking at your news feed, not your timeline, but your news feed, up in the left-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, it should say something like your profile with your pretty little picture, edit profile. Then underneath there in bold letters, it says news feeds. And off to the right of those two words is a little carrot. If you click that little carrot, and there's going to be a drop-down, and it's going to give you two options, which is actually the one that you want is most recent, not top stories. If you push top stories, if that's got a check mark by it, then that's all you're going to get, the ones that receive the most activity from your friends and friends of friends, however your privacy settings are. But if you click most recent, then voila, you're going to see every post that any one of your friends posts or they're tagged in. There's a lot of Facebook intricacies that drive us crazy, so it's my job to keep you guys up to date. So anyway, unmute Daniel real quick and tell you guys a little something about him before we get his story going. So let me tell you something about Daniel B. Royer. He, at the age of 16, he was born and raised in a small town called Bay Village, located in northeast Ohio. At the age of 16, he was in a very bad car accident, and it devastated his family's lifestyle. So because of all that upheaval and going on, he left his home at the age of 17 and headed for New Orleans, Louisiana, decided then to go back to Bay Village, graduate high school with his childhood friends, and then he decided to join the 101st Screaming Eagles out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. He received high scores in the military and jumped the ranks very quickly in those 3 years. After that, he became the father of three adorable children, and then he started pursuing his writing career. He has written two books that we'll talk about later that are poetic, which I find it hard just to rhyme, myself, but he put it actually in two different books. So we'll talk about those, and then we're going to talk about the new release of his third book, The Secrets of the Eagle's Nest, which is already receiving rave reviews, and then the second in the series, Roar the Eagle, that's coming out this year. Are you here with me, Daniel?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. I'm so glad you could join us tonight. I'm really excited to hear, as an author, I'm writing from fiction to nonfiction, and it's been a very, I'm not going to say trying, but a very interesting transition. So I'm excited to talk to you about how all this transitioned and talk about, you had a fantastic journey and fascinating journey that you've led. When did you decide to write your first book, and was there a pivotal moment that birthed the decision to share with the world?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in 2008, I decided to write a biography of an American poet. I wanted to give my children a glimpse into my life as I was growing up. So when I completed 64 of the pages, I turned it in to a publisher that agreed to have it published for me. And it turned out so well that I had so many other events that happened throughout my life that I just decided to go ahead and make a second book. So I made two of them. The second one is the biography of American Baby Boomer. But I enjoyed writing the books. I did a lot of research into as far as the explanation on how I felt at the time. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to take the reader and put them directly into my feet as far as where I was at that point, and try to have them live that certain point. And I'm doing these in little short stories. So, you know, I might have one that details my life in a certain segment in time, and then I might jump ahead a few years where another, for instance, horrific or fascinating event happened to me that I wanted to disclose, and that's how I did it, with rhymes and something that I thought would interest the reader.
Now, I know in your first book, The Biography of an American Poet Written in Poetic Script, there was a review on Amazon that said, "Gift of wordsmithing, thoughts into prose and sentences into rhymes." Why did you choose the poetic formatting for your book?
I wanted to do something different. I believe people get sick of the same old thing over and over again. And I know when I was growing up, Dr. Seuss was real special. And I thought if I could introduce an actual storyline and like a grown-up version, yet use that Dr. Seuss type of interjection throughout the story, that it might bring the people into it. Plus, you know, when you're using poetry, you can actually get into feelings and emotions, and just writing those and kind of using this script and finding different poetic rhymes that would go along with it, but at the same time, bring that emotion into it. And that's why I used that type of poetry when I was writing.
How difficult was it to poetically write a book where everything rhymed, but you still delivered the message you intended for your readers?
It was really difficult. So one of the, you know, there were stories that might take me, you know, a few hours to do, but then when I got into the rhyming and stuff like that, it would go into days. So it was pretty difficult as far as rhyming and then trying to bring the motions into the story as well.
Well, I know my oldest son has a gift, a poetic gift, and I've always admired that because I'm not the poet, you know. But I noticed in your second book, Poetic Biography of an American Baby Boomer, you say, going through life has its struggles, but not showing the trials in a way that engages great communication is a loss of the physical realities through our everyday senses. Now, this gives me a sense this book is about sharing the tough times, but with a purpose. Am I close?
Yes, you are. Having lived all these amazing adventures and not having them recorded would eat away at me until I came up with a solution, a lot of times I'd have to get up and write those situations down. To give you an example, when I left home at 17 years old, I had to move 1,000 miles back to my hometown, and my sole incentive was to finish high school with my peers. It was really priceless, but going through that, it was very hard, but to write about it and look back at it, I felt good about myself. Or even raising my three children, the challenges I had to face, but it's how I faced them that defined me as a man and who I am today. So, there was a lot of purpose involved.
Well, that's admirable. I mean, I can tell you, I don't think I've seen anyone on the shelves that actually has a literacy piece out all in poetic formatting that's not poems. You know what I mean? That kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so you've got to be one of a kind. Have you researched your competition?
I have, and there was not really anybody out there. As a matter of fact, since I wrote that a few years back, I've seen a lot more into that type of thing, that a lot more people are doing it. So apparently it is pretty popular. But I've always been out there as far as doing things that nobody has ever tried. So I'm kind of, as far as doing that, I'm kind of out on my own as far as doing things like this.
Wow. Okay, so are you a baby boomer, Daniel?
Yes, I was born in 1958. I have five brothers. I was born in that big family, and I enjoyed every single year growing up with it.
Awesome. Well, I read my statistics, and they said there's 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day in America. If you had to give one piece of advice based on the journey that can be found in your book, the poetic, what are we calling it? Let me scroll back here. The poetic biography of an American baby boomer. What, do you have any nugget for someone out there that's retiring that they could find in your book?
I would just say, it's life you want to live. Don't be afraid to explore everything. There's so much out there, and if you let life run your life, you won't be able to explore those avenues that kind of complete you as far as a human being goes. So I would say just go out there and do it, and just that leap of faith. Sometimes you don't believe that'll happen and you can get better, but it does actually happen. But you've got to take that leap of faith.
And I so agree. I really agree. Last year I turned 63 and became a two-time best-selling author, radio host, angel card reader,
wow,
speaker at the age of 63. So I so agree with you. It's like too many of the baby boomers that I know were like me, stuck. You know, we thought that society said when we reach 65, it's time to retire, throw in the towel. But I look at my shero, Betty White, who just turned 93, and it's like, that's what I want to be.
Exactly.
I want to be 93, and I'm celebrating, you know, on the set of my TV show kind of thing. So what we're going to do, in fact, I want to ask you, are you kin to Glenn Moyer, my musical guest tonight?
To tell you the truth, I believe all Royers in this country are, because we were brought in 1758, and if he has a background in Pennsylvania, then yeah, because all Royers, they're spread out all around the country, and like I said, most of the families when I was growing up, the Royers were, they had big families, they had six or eight kids, and they just spread around the country. So yeah, I'd have to say yes. I don't know how, but I found different people all over this country, last name Royer, and it all goes back to Pennsylvania, and then when they first coming around.
Awesome. Well, he's out of Canada. Yeah, he's out of Canada, and whenever I was looking through my database of original music, because that's all I promote on Mama Shar, and we're talking about change, how you changed from going poetic biography to science fiction for 7 to 17-year-olds, his song is Change Is Now Here. So I chose his song for this because you guys are the Warriors. This is all about the Warriors. So I'm going to play his song. But after the music break, I want to talk to you about how you made the transition from the poetic biographer to the science fiction fantasy of your latest works.
Cool.
Okay. Wet your whistle, take a pee, do whatever you need to do, and then come on back after the music break.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay. All right, we're going to be listening here now to Glenn Royer, his song Change is Now Here, and you can find Glenn at CBC Music or on YouTube. So you guys sit back, enjoy the vibe, come on back, and we're going to be back with Daniel Royer and Ask Mama Shar segment afterwards. Be blessed and take a listen.
Change is here.
Well, there you have it. We've got Glenn Royer with Change Is Now Here. Check him out over at CBC Music and iTunes. But we're back with Daniel B. Royer. Not sure, we think they're distant cousins, but still it's the Royers kind of show tonight. And Daniel has a Facebook page. You can find him at Book of Daniel on Facebook. Of course, his books you can find on Amazon and Goodreads. Highly, highly recommend. There's got some great reviews going on over there. So go pick up your copy. So, Daniel, you back with me, young man?
Yeah, I'm here, Mom.
All right. Okay, now I'm going to tell you, I didn't have time to purchase your new book, Secrets of the Eagle's Nest, where you speak of abandonment, military, rigid structure, mystical powers, and all these things. I know the biography was based on your real life, your experiences. How much of your real life experiences can we find in the Secrets of the Eagle's Nest, Book 1?
A majority of the stuff that I actually wrote about is I actually did live as far as, the abandonment, leaving New Orleans and my family behind. And I was in the military for over 11 years. So all the structure and stuff that they trained you in over those years, I learned a lot. Of course, the mystic powers, I haven't quite got a hold on those yet, but so those are probably the only things that I as far as stretching the truth in the book as far as I went. But yeah, I went overboard as far as creating a child that was phenomenally he was very creative as far as his mind and his ability. As far as magic goes, and as he grew older, he grew more refined and better as he went. But I kind of took that as when I was growing up. I was doing the same thing. I was kind of, in my talents as I was growing older and more stronger, I was lifting weights and doing things to pronounce the abilities that I had.
Awesome. See, I struggle in fantasy. I'm not a daydreamer kind of. I have my Marine, my youngest son, is my daydreamer. And he had the creative mind as a child. You know, so I can kind of understand, you know, how you could tap into both fantasy and everything. Now, there's a review on the Amazon site by a children's books reviewer, and it says that the Secrets of the Eagle's Nest book is a past adventure of Aben Eagle. Aben soon finds himself transported to other worlds and universes, rapidly gaining superpowers he did not dream of before. Now, from this review, it sounds as if it's a children's book, and you told me that it was for children of ages 8 to 17. I said 7, but I see now in your notes it says 8 to 17. But it sounds like this would be for everyone, not just a cutoff of 17 years, because just what I read, I was intrigued. So
yeah,
this was for some of us older children too?
Yeah, I think anybody that got into like a Harry Potter or the series Smallville or something like that on TV, I think they would really get into this type of book. It's not like that, but at the same time, it is a younger child that grows into godliness as far as his powers go. So I would think, and plus there is a family essence in the book where there's a mother and a father and, a child and trying to raise a child when the child thinks he knows better than the parents. So there is that type of thing where I think the whole family wouldn't get involved, because it's not only about children and how they're coming into these powers, but it's also about a father trying to raise a son that's got these ungodly powers, and he has no idea how to handle them. So, yeah, I believe that the book is just about for any age, but my target audience would be 8 to 17 years of age, though.
So. I gotcha. Well, you know, if you compare it to Harry Potter, there were a lot of adults buying those tickets to go see those movies and buying those books, too. So it's like, I think you've got a strong audience there. And I know what little I did read, your very first paragraph, you talk about the family dynamics. It starts off with the mysterious disappearance of Avon's mother. Will you tell us what happens to Avon's mother in this book, or is that going to be in the follow-up book?
No, the mother, what happened to the mother is devolved in the first book.
It is. Well, I was intrigued. And also, you talk about the military that came up the street. Will that be divulged as well in the first book?
Yes.
Why the military was there?
Yes, there's certain things that's going on in the first half of the book that raises eyebrows of the father and even the son and the nanny in the book, that they're trying to figure out what's going on, and they don't realize all this stuff is conjuring up around their area because they're the center. But they don't realize that, and they're just trying to figure things out. So, yes, everything is told in the first book. There's a lot of secrets throughout the book and then going into the next book, too. And I think that's what I hit on, too. That's one of the reasons why I put Secrets of the Eagle's Nest. And, of course, the eagles are a family eagles. That's name is E-G-O-L-E-S. So it kind of throws people off when they see Eagle's Nest right away. They're thinking the bird and they're thinking the spelling, but it's just a family of the name Eagles.
Why did you choose that name? Because of the Eagle's Nest?
Yeah, there was the Eagles. I wanted something that kind of kept like the eagle, what the eagle stands for, you know, pride, freedom, all this stuff, but I wanted to put into a family rather than a bird, and I couldn't use the bird's name, so I thought, well, maybe I could use, you know, an off name, and then the representation is as I go through the story explaining it, and then, of course, there is other things that, you know, the reason is brought up later on in the second book as well.
Actually, and I can tell you that it makes me, I'm going to buy the book, and I'm not into sci-fi fantasy. Like I said, I don't have that kind of mindset, but just wanting to know why the soldiers were on the ground, you know, was close to his home. And by the way, what happened to his neighbor that had to move? Did he die? And that's why the young girl moved in the house.
No,
he
didn't
really
die. He really moved.
Okay, cool.
The situation. Yeah, I don't want to go too much into the book. I just like to say
that
situations were occurring at the time.
I got you. Everything had to play out. Okay. And again, I'm dying to know what happened to Mama. You know. So when can we expect The Roar of the Eagles, the second book?
That'll be out late November this year.
Late November this year. Right, well, tell the listeners where we can find your work and everything that, you know, any social media sites that we could go to tap on to you and keep track of when this book comes out.
Like I said, Book of Daniel, I keep everything up to par and as far as Facebook goes. But I also got a website, which is Daniel's Den, and that's off of Wix. It's I'm still trying to get the website and everything together. But if you go to a Book of Daniel, it tells you where my website is and the link that you'd need to get to it. I could give you the link name right now, but a lot of people, I don't think that they would remember it. But it is Daniel's Den off of Wix, and that's danielsden.com. But that's off of the Wix station. If you even go to Amazon, you can find out everything. You go to my author's page, which is, all you have to do is click on Daniel Royer under any of my books, and it'll take you right to my author page, and that'll explain, like, where my Amazon site is, where my you know, all the different sites I am on, including my website.
Awesome. Well, I know I follow you on Book of Daniel, so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how The Roar of the Eagles comes out, because I'll have time to buy the first book, and I might even go into the poetic biography of American Baby Boomer, just because I are one too, and see how fascinating it was that you made everything kind of rhyme poetically in the book of in the form of a book. So I want to thank you for being with me today. And would you come back after The Roar of the Eagles is, and tell us, you know, how everything's going after that?
I certainly would. Whenever you want me back, all you have to do is just drop me a note.
Okay, Daniel. Well, I do appreciate you coming on, and you have all my respect as an author because of the transition that you've taken from fiction to sci-fi, and I wish you the best of luck.
Okay, and thank you so much, Mama Shar, for having me on. I really enjoyed it. It's been an amazing time I just like talking about it, and it was really nice that you had me on tonight.
Thank you so much, young man. You be blessed, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There you have it, guys. Go pick it up. I mean, if you can go to Amazon, Daniel B. Royer's author page on Amazon, and you know they have that little function there where you can read a couple of pages of the book. That's what I read, and it's got me wanting to buy the book, because Secrets of the Eagle's Nest, he says it's for young adults, but I'm intrigued. Maybe I'm just a child at heart. I don't know. We know that to be true. But, yeah, you guys go check him out. And, of course, his Facebook, Daniel. So, okay, what do we have next? Ask Mama Shar. I'll tell you what I did. I put out a hashtag, Ask Mama Shar, on Twitter. And started advertising it on Instagram, Pinterest, and all that. And so every week I get some very interesting comments, questions, that kind of stuff. And I always respond back. So if you have any comments or questions, you can always find me at mamashar.com. There's a contact form, or on all social media at mamasharblessed. So tonight I'm going to answer an email that I received from Sierra from Washington. And she writes, Mama Shar, I am 16 and I am in love. My boyfriend does not want to have sex with me. His father is a preacher and he is afraid to let his parents down. What should I do? And I ain't gonna lie, I thought I was being punked at first. But I'm taking Sierra very seriously here. And first of all, baby girl, I'm not a doctor of psychology, nor a clergy, a professional of any kind. I'm just an old woman with an opinion. And so take that for what you will, but here's mine. Go to church with him. Keep your legs closed until you are A, legal age, B, able to pay the consequences that come with having sex, which is not just STDs, pregnancies, but the loss of emotion. And C, which is really the most important part here, respect yourself. I mean, your boyfriend shares a respect that is unheard of in this day and age, and you should be following his lead. Young people, I mean, heck, even old people or middle-aged people, now that I've been on this online dating site, I can tell you, most will say, that I will say they have lost their respect, not just for themselves, but for everyone else. And the fact that this young man respects and cares for you enough to say no, and his parents, I would have to say, you need to follow his lead. Do you know how many females would love to be in your shoes right now? Just to have a man that cares enough and respects them enough to say, no, it's not for my highest good. It's not for your highest good. It'll, you know, it will destroy my family, and I believe in family. Girls would, I mean, trust me, on this online dating site I've been on, they beg men to respect them, and they don't always do it. So you ride it, girlfriend. I mean, don't you even think twice about Mama Shar's ABCs. You remember, if I need to repeat them, it's like, wait till you're of legal age. That's 18. You got a couple more years. Be able to pay the consequences should you get an STD or you get pregnant, and the emotional baggage that comes attached with just having casual sex. And but most of all, respect yourself, baby girl. You're 16. You've got your whole world in front of you. Don't mess it up. And consider yourself blessed to have such a young man in your life that respects you and his family like this. This is just so admirable. So that's Mama Shar's suggestion to you, Sierra from Washington. ABC, Mama Shar's ABCs. So until you follow those, your sexual relationship should be nada, nada, enchilada. You got it, baby girl? You got it. Okay, so anybody out there, send me your questions and, of course, your comments about this show at mamashar.com and all social media sites at Mama Shar Blessed. And I always respond via email, but for sure, if I think that it's a burning question, then I'll read it online and we'll take it from there. And I do appreciate everybody that tunes in every week and sends me your comments and your questions. And even my haters, I love my haters, because only without you telling me what you don't like about the program can I grow, if I want to grow. If it's something that I'm very strong about, Mama Shar has another 3F rule that I can't repeat on air right now, but it's like, I will consider your opinion, but I may not act on it. Just know that. But I do appreciate hearing from you. So I guess that's all we've got for tonight. And before we go, you know what to do. You always play nice, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And remember, though, love yourself. That's the important thing. So until next week, I want you to be blessed and be safe. And I love y'all. Good day.